Our Bible reading this morning is from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 11 to 15. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised.
As we continue our journey through 2 Corinthians, now I need a volunteer. Do I have a volunteer? John, you're going to volunteer. I saw that hand. Here you go. Now, we didn't get a rush to volunteers, even though after last week. Even though you should have remembered last week because I told you about it. Well, that struck me as I was looking at things this week. I went, you know what? The disciples didn't really understand what Jesus was doing sometimes. Change is hard for us. We don't know what's going on and we don't want to take a risk sometimes. Now, when I've asked people to volunteer here, I've thought about this and go, I have never done it in a way that's meant to harm somebody. Now, yes, I know that sometimes the things you've volunteered for have been a little uncomfortable at times. I do remember a time asking someone to lead communion. They had refused me a number of times, and then I asked them on a Friday one day, and they said, dang, I got to do it now, because I wasn't going to go to church on Sunday because you were going to ask me, and God jumped in ahead and asked me on time. Now, for that person, they found it uncomfortable leading communion. They don't like being up front. But they did it anyway, and that was a blessing to the rest of us, and a blessing to them because they serve God. So this whole volunteering thing, that this whole getting in and giving it a go, is hard at times. The motivation to do it, why do I want to do that? But it's worth it when we do things for God. So that's why I just wanted to try that again, just for the fun of it. By the way, Mandy, did you bring sweet potatoes today? No. I didn't do it for the sweet potatoes. I did it for the reason I've just explained. That sometimes it's hard to do something. And the other aspect of it is that $10 isn't going to solve your week, John. Hopefully it'll make it a little bit better. I don't know how much money it would take to solve all your problems. Well, it wouldn't work anyway because, like everyone else, some of our problems can't be solved with money. When we come to the Bible and the message we're going to give, I looked at this passage and there were a number of different places I could go. Today's message can't solve all our problems, but just as $10 can be a step in the right direction and helpful for something this week, my prayer is that something in this message is helpful to either each of us. That this bit that I believe God gave me to give for us will help us. So, As I was preparing this message, I was listening to something from Tim Keller, who's a famous pastor in America, and he was explaining it from this perspective. He was saying, we all know what the cross is for. To pay for my sins and offer salvation. I could ask any of you that. You knew that. Tim Keller says, when he was young, and he knew that, and he was reading verses like this, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. In 1 John 2:1, and in Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who draw near to God through him, since he has always lives to intercede for them. And he was talking about the concept of interceding for us and the advocate of Jesus in heaven. And he was looking at it, and he said, as a young person, my imagination was in the courtroom before God when I'd done something wrong, which we've all done, that Jesus would go before the Father and say, oh, Father, look, I know him. He's a good lad or lass. I know he's trying. Can't you give him another chance? And God would sit there and go, oh, all right, we'll give him another go. That was the image that Tim Keller said he had in his head. And then he realized, no, the cross was more than that. You see, when Jesus advocates for us before the Father, it's more like as the lawyer, he comes up and says, Father, this debt, this sin has been paid in full. The person is innocent. Ah, so it's not just a, oh, I'll let you off thing. It's a, the debt has been paid. I was listening to a description of someone on a podcast this week about an El Salvador prison where they've got gang members in there. And one guy's sentence is he's got 1,000 years, so he's not going to get parole. Because some of the gang members there, to get in the gang, you had to have committed 10 murders. Then you've got tattoos all over you saying MS-13. Or this prison is for them. He said, El Salvador's murder rate has dropped from 100 people per 100,000 to 2 per year. Because they basically went and locked up all the serial killers and said, and the prison conditions aren't nice. Now, that person being locked up in there doesn't stop that murder, doesn't pay back that person who died, but it stops another one. And that's the price that person has to pay. Every one of us who's done something wrong has a price before God. And Jesus said, if you come to me and ask for forgiveness, I will pay that price. We don't want to look at that sometimes about our sins, but if we're honest with ourselves, we've all made mistakes. We've all got it wrong. We all need forgiveness somewhere. And Jesus said, I'll pay it. The bigger that price, the more grateful we should be. So we come to these verses of today. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and raised and was raised again. Or to put that in another version, we are ruled by Christ's love for us. We are certain that if one person died for everyone else, then all of us have died. And Christ did die for all of us. He died so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for the one who died and rose again. Our motivation, our living should be we live for Christ because he's paid the debt for us. For all those wrong things we've done are expunged from the record. We're free before God because of what he has done for us. So we should go, well, he's worth it. We'll live for him. Grace and forgiveness has come to us. So as I started thinking about that verse, the word that really sat on me was motivation. What's our motivation for doing something? This verse makes it clear. Those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. Ah, so as Christians, it's not about us anymore. We want to live for God because we're so thankful for what he's done for us. But then I thought, oh, how does that play out in my life, in the life we're trying to live normally? What was Jesus' motivation? You see, he wanted to serve God. He was God. And then he had this day, evening in the garden, where his motivation was struggling a little bit. But because he's God, he's perfect, he had good and healthy motivation. What was his motivation? Love. That's why he's prepared to go to the cross. God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did it because he loves us. He did it because it was the right thing to do. The right thing, the just thing, was to make a way for those that have done the wrong thing to get right with God. It was the wise thing. Father, is there any other way? Nope. Okay. The wisdom is doing what it takes to get to the right place. You can take a different road, but if it won't get you to that place, it's not a wise road. Duty. Duty can be a good motivation. I don't want to do this, God, but not my will, but yours. I will do it for you, God. Joy. The cross wasn't joy. But when Jesus is in heaven and he accepts each of us as we come to him, and there's millions of people in heaven because of what Jesus has done, he says, that's my joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So these aspects of motivation, Jesus did them to enable us, for us. Then I thought about motivation. There's a whole lot of good and healthy motivations. Love. We do lots of things for love. We do things out of gratitude. We do things because they're the right thing. We do things because they're wise. We do things because it's duty. We're commanded by a correct authority. We do things because it brings us fun and joy. Some things we do to get money. That can be unhealthy, but I'm meaning in a healthy way. You go to work and you do your job that way and do it well and you get paid at the end of the week or the month or whatever. We do some things to be comfortable. We do some things for honour. God blimey, there's a whole lot there. Then there's reasons we do things for a bad and unhealthy motivation. Fear, to get power, vengeance, addiction, greed, lust, shame, escapism, jealousy. If we're honest with ourselves, probably every one of those things we've done at least something for. And then when we're trying to do the right thing, there's things that block us from doing it. There's what I call them hindrances to motivation. Exhaustion, fear, pain, injury. It's hard. I don't want to do it. There's legalities in the road, the timing, the cost, ignorance, the question, is it worth it? And you go, oh, I can't process all that. I'm not expecting you to. What I'm pointing out is that motivation is a massive struggle. There's all these things around it. It's not as simple as he died for us, so out of love for him, we do what's right. It is simple in one sense, but how does that play into all of this aspect of our daily life where we face all of those things? Well, today's message is for Christians. People, if you're here this morning, it's because you want to know something about what God wants. And this is for you to process for yourself, not how to motivate someone else. This is about what God's saying to you. How do you do what you're meant to do? How do you put into practice this reality that because God died for us, we want to live for him? So I thought about it this way. Sometimes our motivation struggles. motivation is low. Anyone else have those mornings where getting out of bed, I don't really want to? I'm guessing some other people have faced that issue sometimes. Your motivation is low. How does this help us? Then sometimes people face the issue that the motivation is high, but the conscience is saying no. The motivation to stay in the bed. Anyone have that rise in some mornings? Yeah, yeah. But there's something in your morning, in your warning, in your conscience going, no, you've got to get out. There are other things where there's a high motivation for something, but your conscience is saying, no, don't do it. How about this one? There's pressure high, but motivation is low. Somebody is saying, you've got to do, or I need you to do this, or they're guilt tripping or all sorts of things. There's lots of pressure on you, but your motivation to do it is very low. Then I thought, you know, there are actually times when someone has a high motivation and they just want to get in and do it. I have those on rare occasions. How does God help us with these situations of motivation? Started thinking about it, as I was preparing those three lists I had, I was starting to think, well, what did each one of those go in those? And I thought, oh my goodness, that could have us a sermon here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. By that time, your motivation to throw things at me would be high. Your motivation to stay would be very low. Let's sum that up. And I went, well, the big question is for motivation, and when we're struggling for motivation, ask myself, is it loving to God, to others, and myself? You see, that's the prime motivation that God says to have. That's what motivates him, love. That's what he says to us. The greatest commandment is love. So when you're in a situation, you can't do this all the time, but every now and again you'll have that moment where you've got time to think and motivation is not great. Or you're struggling with motivation, or the motivation's high, but the conscience is warning you. The question that started to go was, well, what I ask myself is what I'm thinking about doing, what the motivation is struggling with, is it loving to God, to others, and myself? If it's not, probably not, shouldn't do it, so let's throw it out. But if it is loving, that can prompt me. Now, mundane example. Cleaning floors is not something I would love doing. Not something I'm good at. Not something I would do very often. And do not go and talk to my wife about this afterwards. I'll be honest. But I have done it on occasions. Why? Because I want the kitchen sparkling? I couldn't give a damn. That's why you wear socks and you don't feel it, all right? But I do love my wife, and she likes it clean. So what prompts me to get a vacuum cleaner and a mop out on odd occasions is love for my wife. All right? Now, there are other things I would do that because I love my wife or I love my daughters, or I'll do this thing, though it doesn't really grab me. And she's laughing and going, well, you don't love me enough because you don't do it often enough. This is true. I don't do it very often. But the only reason I do it is because I love her. Now, there's a whole lot of those three lists. There's a whole lot of mixtures of other things going on. Time. But love is a motivation. Okay. So when you're struggling with motivation, a good question to ask yourself is, who's it showing love to? And is that worth it? Then I went, is God asking me to actually do this? You see, one of the other aspects of struggles of motivation is often there's a drayload of things that could be done, should be done, and we're lacking motivation because there's too much to do, and which ones? And we got to do these things before we can do the things we want. Ask the question. If the motivation's low, is God actually asking me to do it? If not, maybe you don't have to. Drop that one. Particularly if there's some pressure going. There's high pressure, low motivation. Well, is the pressure coming from God? Well, if it's not, ask yourself, should I be doing it? Because if we've got too much on our plate, we'll often get worn down and we won't do the good things and the right things. So just check, am I meant to be doing it? And if God's saying doing it, well, if God wants you to do it, loving Him's worth it. Doing it as an act of Him for love makes sense. It can help drive that motivation. As a subset of that question is God asking me is it your responsibility and your role? I was thinking about this one. Classic cases. Our governments want to fix climate change in the world but leave our roads as a mess. Well, is the world's climate the Australian government's responsibility? I'm not saying we shouldn't do something about it, but that's not our primary responsibility. Maybe our roads should come before sorting out the climate, which we're not able to do. In our own lives, there's lots of things we could do. There's often a huge amount on our plate. Ask ourselves a question, with God's help, is this one my job? If my motivation is really low, am I supposed to be doing this? Well, yes, if it is yes, with prayer, and I'll get to some other things in a moment, and knowing that for the love of God, yeah, maybe do it. But check, if it's not, if it isn't my job, isn't my responsibility, it's something I'm supposed to leave up to God, well, maybe I better put it down and let Him do it. When should I do it? Is there something I should be doing first? I started thinking about this one in relation to the thing, that list of things that are hindrances. And I went, if my motivation to do something's very low and it's because I'm exhausted, maybe I should be having a rest, then doing it. Is that what God's asking me to do? Is God asking me to do something else to sort it out first? Before we tackle that issue, when should we do it? My encouragement, my thought for us all was, you can't do this on everything. But there are times when our motivation, we're struggling with it. Can I encourage us to go, ask when I'm struggling with something, ask these questions of myself. Hopefully that will help me get my motivation in the right place to do the right things. You see, anyone feel like that sometimes? The battery's pretty low. When I'm using an angle grinder, sometimes the battery one, you're doing it and you go, ooh, that battery's getting low. Should I be going and changing the battery, or is it, oh, I just got to get that little bit done and then the job's finished, so I'll keep persisting? That little bit of energy left in the battery, is it what I should be using it for? If the battery's low, check with God where to use that energy, and also check with God how to refill it. In those situations where the pressure is high, something's pulling you in a direction, ask God, do I let go of the rope? Or do I pull in the right direction? When our motivation's low, we're struggling. God's grace is there. If we have got it wrong in the past, and the reason where our motivation's low is because all of our energy's gone into something else in the right places, God's grace is there. His forgiveness is there for us. When your motivation's low, asking God, oh, if I got it wrong, God, I need your forgiveness and grace to keep going. God is a God of grace and he promises it. Strength. God is a God of strength. There are times when, if God is asking you to do it, and you're feeling like, I can't do that, and you go, well, hang on, I believe that it's a loving thing to do. I do believe it's something God's asking me to do, and it is asking now, Lord, I need your strength. He's been able to do that. I've had times where I've got to had a couple of weeks of very busy, and I remember particularly one of those times in my last church. I was there, and it had been about 3 weeks before since I'd had a proper day off. It had been really busy, and I got to the Friday, and it was like, oh, finally we can get some of these relaxing jobs done at home. And I got this phone call, can you come to the hospital and meet me in palliative? And I said, ugh. Yep, I'll be there. God gave me the strength to get through that. I didn't have it that day. If it is of God, ask for his strength. Wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who will give generously. Do I or don't I? If you're asking those questions that I put up earlier, we need his grace, his strength, and his wisdom to do those well. So as we finish this morning, I wrote this little prayer because I'm encouraging, I'm hoping, I want to read it out, and I want you to take the opportunity to read it a couple of times and think about it and hope and see if you can pray it for yourself. But while we're doing that, Caleb, you've got nice young legs. Can you come and hand some of these out, please? Or actually, someone else want to help him? Hannah, would you? Please? No? Maddie, can you hand out these to the other side? Thanks. My prayer for us this week and the weeks ahead is that when we have a time that we are struggling with motivation, that we might remember these questions and that the Holy Spirit may in a clear way touch on the component of these things that is the particular next step for us personally in our situation. You see, there are some days where getting up, and I'm really looking forward to what's happening in the day. There are some days where I'm really struggling. If I'm having a struggling day, maybe I can go get this piece of paper out and go, is what I'm doing today loving? Is it what God's asking me to do? Is it my responsibility, and should I be doing it now, or is there something else I should do to prepare first? As I hopefully ask those questions myself, my hope is that I'll get better at being in tune with the things God wants me to do any particular day, and then do it in his grace, strength, and wisdom. My hope is, and my prayer is that for each of us, that when we're having a struggle with the motivation because we just don't want to get out of bed, or whatever that next job is yuck, or whether someone's putting a whole lot of pressure on us and we've got to ask that, and I really don't want to do it. Well, if it is something God's asking and it is for God, sometimes that can remind us to do it anyway. So let me just say those words again. And if it's meaningful to you, I'd encourage you at the end of this prayer, as I've read it out again, in your heart and soul, say, Amen, Lord, that's what I want for me too.
My prayer this week and the weeks ahead is that when we have a time that we are struggling with motivation, that we might remember to ask these questions, and that the Holy Spirit may in a clear way touch on the component of these things that is a particular next step for us personally in our situation. Because each of our situations is different. The thing you might be struggling with, for one person, God might be saying, don't do that, it's not my ask. For others, he might be saying, yep, give it a go. This is what I want you to do. There's no one simple answer for all of us, but the Holy Spirit is available to all of us. And if we're praying those questions and sitting there, take a few minutes to go, what am I really meant to be doing here, Lord? I do absolutely believe that he can help us discern what our next step is. Thank you.